Father, once again, our heart's desire is to have you come into our presence, Lord. We know you're here because we're two or three are gathered. You're in the midst. And Lord, we do acknowledge this is holy ground because you're here, Lord. Your angels are here, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your kingdom. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your works, Lord. But more than anything, we thank you for who you are, Savior, Redeemer, Lord, King, Provider, Healer, Peace. We thank you for these things, Lord. This morning, we lift our hearts, we lift our hands and our lives to you, Lord, in praise and worship. We come into your presence with thanksgiving, Lord. We come into your presence with joy this morning. We extol and we laud and we lift you up, Lord, so that men will be drawn to you. It's about you, Lord. So this morning, Lord, we just once again say we want to be a sweet smell and a sweet sound. Father, we've already prayed, and now we just again echo, we want you to be in control this morning. Holy Spirit, thank you for bringing our Father's will into this building, this facility, and into our temples, Lord, our hearts this morning. We anticipate your move. We anticipate change from you. We give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name, and we thank you in advance. And all who agree, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, on the way in this morning, I mentioned this to the musicians. Gene and I were talking, and I didn't think about it at the time, but it's a preface to what God has given me for this morning. There are things, but we all know this. I mean, this is going to sound like we're covering the same road or we're in a rut, but the point is there are things in all of our lives, no matter how long we've walked with God, that we still, there are little areas where the enemy knows how to pick at that and cause us to lose focus on the Lord. God's love, His power, and His anointing dwells in us. We are more than conquerors. We are victors. And the enemy's plan is to pull our focus away, to touch those things, just pick at them a little bit, touch those things so that we'll lose focus on God and get sucked into past and those things that struggle as we will. We just can't seem to get free. And they're not big things. They're just little things. Scripture says in Song of Solomon, I believe it is, that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Amen? And so this morning, be encouraged. It's a walk. It's a walk. And no matter what, understand that God is concerned about those things. He sees those things and He wants you free. But don't let them dominate your thoughts and pull you out of the truth and what you know is right. Remember the voices. Remember the voices. The voice of God and the voice of Satan sound alike, but they're not alike. One brings glory to God and causes you always to look to Him. The other one pulls you away and causes you to doubt. Even though it sounds like the truth, it pulls you away and causes you to doubt. Amen? So this morning, as we enter in, keep that in mind and understand that God's love is endless. It never ends. It never becomes obsolete. And it's always with us. Remember His thoughts. They're for good. So even though there's irritations, that's not the end all. Okay? And remember, no matter what you struggle with, God has already provided the victory. Just keep going the way you're going. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And you're going to come out victorious over that. May not happen today or tomorrow. Maybe you've been struggling with something for years. Maybe it's a lack of self-esteem. Maybe it's seeing things that you've been praying for and you're just about the place where you think, God, I just must not be your will. It's never going to happen. Don't give up. Remember, the Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't stop your push to do good. Because God promised, He promised you would reap in due season if you don't fail. In due season, what does that mean? We know God's never late. He's never early. He's always right on time. Amen? Hallelujah. So it's coming. It's coming. If you can keep that in mind and you can keep that as your focus, that ought to bring enough joy and praise in you that you'll just keep on praising. And you know what? You'll wake up one day. Maybe today's the day. It'll be gone. You've made another step. You've cried another step in glory. You've come up another rung. Amen? Advanced in the kingdom another place. Amen? That's what it's all about, isn't it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm amazed. And it's become more poignant and more obvious to me of even in Christian circles. In fact, ashamedly, it's in Christian circles, that we have the attitude of instantaneous gratification. Lord, grant me patience, but I want it now. You hear what I'm saying? And that we need to just sit and trust in God. Rest in Him. Rest in Him knowing that there's not one thing that affects or touches your life that God is not interested in, and that He has not provided the victory in that area, or the plan for that area, or the faith for that area. Amen? Don't get caught up focusing on what you don't have. Give God glory and praise for what you do have. Amen? Praise the Lord. Give Him praise and glory for what He's done in your life, for the things He's blessed you with. Amen? The Bible says, Matthew 6:33, we all know it, if we'll seek His kingdom first and Him, then all these other things will be what? You'll have them. They'll be added to you. Amen? Did God lie? Is it possible for God's Word to fail? Then we're victorious this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. And see, that all operates by faith. Faith in what? The Word and the promise of God, which cannot fail. Are you listening? They cannot fail. Just don't get caught up in thinking it should have happened yesterday. Amen? Hallelujah. Deborah came in this morning. She's all excited. We already know that Art's saved. I mean, we've been prophesying and saying that. But the thing is, he's coming. You can see God moving in his life. Yeah, we'd like to see him saved and be sitting right here with us. But we know God's operating because of the testimony that comes back. Amen? That's just one example. That's just one example in one person's life. And by hearing that, I mean, it's what I already know. I'm with her. I'm in. I'm telling you what. This place is going to get excited when he finally steps in here and becomes an active part of us. Amen? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he always is. How about you? Amen? Gene, those things, rubbish, rubbish. They're important to God because they're important to you, but they're not going to hold you back. I'm speaking that in prophecy and faith over your life. They're not going to hold you back. You're going to continue to grow. You're going to continue to soar. The other things, sometimes little confessions and things, you know, like memory problems and things like that. You know, boy, I seem like I can't remember anything. Where did you get that in the Word? You know, these are the kind of things we say without thinking. And what we forget at that moment, and sometimes immediately after we say it, we go, but remember, what you say is what you believe. And your words are creative words. They'll create the negative or they'll create the positive. They'll create the answer or the dismay, the despair. Amen? Hallelujah. We're not diminishing in God. We are moving forward in God. We are excelling in God. Amen? 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. You know, that didn't give you goosebumps. It should have. I'm standing here just almost beside myself. As Stan would say, happy as if I had good sense. Praise the Lord. Are you excited this morning? I'm telling you. How can you not be excited in the Lord? I mean, every day we should be getting up with anticipation of what God's doing, what He's going to do, what He has done, giving Him thanks for what He has done, but anticipation, what's going on today. Amen. And I want to be a part of it, an active part. Amen? How about you?
Yes.
Amen. Don't you feel good when you give into the kingdom?
Amen.
Doesn't make any difference what you give, whether it's your time, your talent, you know, your things. When you give into the kingdom, doesn't it make you feel good? Amen? I mean, you can just not only feel, but see God's smile. Amen? And He doesn't let that go unrewarded. Amen? Remember, if it's just a cup of cold water that you give, He sees. And that, you know, that's all He expects of you. If it's just a cup of cold water, one person in the kingdom, or one person who needs to know the Lord. Amen? And God uses that so exceedingly, extravagantly, abundantly, you can't imagine. Amen? Praise the Lord. Lord, you are our hiding place this morning. And you do always fill our hearts with songs of deliverance. deliverance, Lord, whenever we're afraid or whenever an attack comes, Lord. You fill our hearts with songs of deliverance. And because of that, Lord, we trust in you this morning. We trust in you. We the weak say we're strong in your strength, Lord, in the strength of the Lord, because we trust in you. Father, this morning, once again, I ask, Lord, that you be magnified and I be diminished in your shadow, Lord. Hide me behind the cross. Let your word come forth this morning and touch lives. Let it bring about change. Let it bring about meditation on your goodness, your promise, which cannot fail. Your promise is, Father, we love you. We thank you for this day and this time. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you're bringing revelation. You're bringing peace, understanding, insight. You bring comfort. You edify, you exhort, and you build up. Let these words that are from you this morning, Lord, do that very thing in our lives. And we do, and we will give you praise and glory and honor and thanksgiving forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Seems like we haven't been here forever. I've missed you all. That's the truth. I like being with my family. Amen. I like being with you because you are my family. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Scripture this morning to start with is a familiar one. Mark 11, 22 through 24. Mark 11, 22 through 24. You know, I don't quite understand why, but I know it's true. And especially because for the last, doesn't make any difference, period of time. It's been a while. I have watched God through my adversity, or through what I considered adversity, bring me to a place where, once again, I was reminded that the only place I can go, the only thing I have to hang on to, is my faith, or let me say trust in Him, which is faith, and knowing that He is, has only my good in mind, and yours too. I don't care what adversity you've gone through. I don't care what's going on. When these things come, these things are meant to bring stability, character, and unshakable, unchanging, unwavering faith in our lives. Again, could be something to you that may seem enormous. A mountain, if you will. A mountain. And you think, dear God, what now? Faith and trust in God. That's what now. Amen? Knowing that He has never, nor will He ever, leave you nor forsake you, or leave you in a place of adversity. The key is to not lose heart and to not get so beside yourself that your focus is totally on whatever it is, whether it's little or what seems to be gigantic, that you lose sight of Him and know that He not only has, but He is the answer to everything in your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. And Jesus, replying, said to them, "Have faith in God." And I like in parentheses in the Amplified Bible, it says, "constantly or consistently." Hallelujah. Truly, listen, truly, it's a statement of truth. I say to you, He's telling us, whoever says to this mountain, what mountain? Consider something in your life that you may think is a mountain or that you've been struggling with. Again, a mountain doesn't necessarily have to be a big thing. It can also be a small thing that you just can't seem to get free of. Or that you don't understand why God doesn't take it away, why you don't get delivered from it, and why it doesn't change. Say to this mountain, "Be lifted up and thrown into the sea," and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. Now, when you see a mountain, the key is, as you see that mountain, not to let the mountain overtake you, but you overtake the mountain by not doubting. How do you do that? You keep your eyes and your focus, even if it means just being in His presence, even if you can't think of the Word right now, that's the Holy Spirit's job to come in and bring you back to the Word and remind you. But keep your focus on Him. If it means singing praise to Him, say, "God, I don't understand it, but I praise You and I thank You. I give You glory and honor." Or however. I'm not telling you a schematic of how to do it. Let the Holy Spirit just and your spirit get together and just bring adoration to the Lord. And in so doing, when you believe and you don't doubt that that mountain is removed, you'll see God's supernatural mighty hand move and remove that mountain. Now, it may not come out just like all of a sudden you see the mountain lift up and go out of the sea. But through His presence in your life and through your meditation on Him and in His Word, you'll see all of a sudden it begin to crumble and diminish and be no more. Be no more. That doesn't mean the circumstances behind it may not be absolutely right in your face, but it means that it won't be of importance. See, if something becomes a mountain when you lose sight of God, when you lose sight of His Word and His promises to you. And in God there are no exceptions. He doesn't say, "This is all true except for Karen, Kemp, Bill." Amen? Jean, Harry and Marie. All of us. There are no exceptions. One of the things we struggle with is we think because of things in our lives that we have, like I said, we just can't get free of. They're really small things, but they're a big thing to us because we don't like them. One of the things we don't like about us, you know, that we just can't seem to get free of. So we think, well, yeah, but it's me. We're not talking about Stan Setliff, who's mighty in faith. We're talking about me. And yet, God does not see those things in you. What He's keeping a record of in yours, in my life. Listen carefully, people. Please, listen carefully. The record He's keeping about you and I are the strides we make and the advancements we make in the kingdom, which cause our faith to grow. Because without that faith, we can't please Him. But when we, in the face of whatever it is, small or large, look to Him, the author and the finisher of our faith, what that does is that causes Him to smile and we begin to see His hand move because we're looking for His hand to move, not looking at the circumstance, the situation, or the little irritation in our life. Amen? Hallelujah. For this reason, I am telling you. Sometimes we have people tell us, "Hey, I'm telling you," and yet we still struggle. Well, yeah, it's easy for him to say, or it's easy for her to say. No. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever, everybody say with me, whatever you ask in prayer, believe or trust and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. Now, how can I have confidence in that? How can I be so bold about that? How can they be so bold? It's because you know that when you're trusting in God and you're asking for something, or there's something in your life that's hindering you or keeping you back, God wants you delivered from it as much as you want to be delivered. Are you with me? Did you hear me? I think that bears saying again. God wants you delivered from it as much as you want to be delivered. But don't get weary. Don't start to let your shoulders sag. Don't start to let your hands hang down to the place of looks like you're losing the battle. You're walking in defeat. It's not possible with God. What did He say? With Him, all things are possible. He was just kidding though, right? He didn't really mean that. Come on now. Yes, He meant it. He went to the cross to prove it. He said it's finished. He's given us all things that what? Pertain to life and godliness. And that means if there's anything that would stand in your way, any attack of the enemy, He's already overcome the enemy, so you're walking in victory already. You just have to come in agreement with His Word and see yourself walking in victory and seeing the mountain, whatever that mountain is, that's, you know, when you're standing, Shangri-La, or a beautiful green valley with a beautiful lake or stream on the other side, and you're standing in front of that mountain, it's not until you cross over that mountain or that mountain is gone that you can see it. So when there's an attack of any kind, small or large, we can't see it because all we see is the mountain. By faith, we don't see the mountain. We see us on the other side. Amen? We long for, creation groaned for salvation because of the sin that was in it, because of the sin of Adam and Eve. As a result, God had to devise a plan to send Jesus to make it so we could be free and we could always be on that other side of the mountain, whatever mountains they may be. Unfortunately, sometimes we as humans make mountains out of molehills. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Y'all know that I'm preaching from experience. Hallelujah. When it says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, that literally means to be moved from its place, to take off or away what is attached to anything, to take away from another what is his or yours, whichever fits, or what is committed to him, to take by force or to cause to cease. When you say to the mountain, you have to understand that it's moving, and it's moving even as you speak because you've spoken it. Are your words powerful? Are your words creative? What's in your hearts? What's going to come out of your mouth? And so we have to. We have an obligation if we want to be free, if we want to walk in victory, to make sure the words that come out of our mouth are the words of the Lord, which means we're in agreement with His Word. And we understand that it's the only truth, and that He is, His promises are the only way, the only truth, and the only life. So we need to see that, whatever it is, move from its place. To see it take off or away, that is, you know, whatever is attached to anything, to us, to, you know, circumstances, and then to take away from another what is, or what is committed to him. That's what he does. He takes away what's committed to him. If you have to prophesy it, prophesy it. But as you prophesy it, hear what you're saying. Do it with the Word of God. And you'll see a change come over your circumstances and in your circumstances that will blow you away. It may take a day or two. I told Bob earlier this morning, just as the men were getting ready to pray before service, ashamedly and yet thankfully, I praise God, I'm coming back into the same place I was before all this nonsense took place. I'm beginning to hear God's voice again clearly. I'm beginning to see His direction. My faith is beginning to grow again in ways that it's stronger than it was before. Amen?
Hallelujah.
And that's what God wants. That's what God wants. How does that happen? Just because I'm sitting back and I'm such a good guy? Oh, no. It's because God has a plan and a thought for my life just as He does yours. And He wants to see that, and He will, as long as you allow Him to, fulfill that plan in your life. But it takes faith and not doubt. And the only way you can have faith and not doubt is to keep your mind, your thoughts, and your life in accordance to the Word of God, in fellowship with Him, with His Word. And speak to those things. Don't speak about them, speak to them. Are you on the same page with me? Be removed, be cast into the sea. And believe it, because God's Word says that's what you can have and that's what He wants for you, and you'll see it diminish and disappear. Maybe instantly, maybe over a period of time, short or long, but you'll see it happen. But keep your eyes on Jesus. Remember the song, Good Words, Good Words. I'll bet the person who wrote that song was in the same dilemma that many of us face in our Christian walk at times. Maybe now, maybe past, maybe future. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into His wonderful face. Don't look in the face of adversity and receive what it brings, the thoughts, the doubts, the fears. Look into His face. And then those things of this earth, those Adamic, ungodly, Antichrist things will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Amen? Hallelujah. When it says be cast, that means to throw or to let go of a thing. Hello? Did you hear that, folks? It says to throw or let go. Don't continue in it. Don't hang on to it. Let it go. How do you hang on to it? Well, that's not rocket science. You just keep your mind on that thing. You let frustration sit in. Dear God, I want to be free, but it just... Well, you're spinning your wheels. The minute you speak to it in faith, according to the Word of God, giving commands because the Anointed One is within you, and that same authority and power dwells in you, you're going to see a change that will deliver you. Did you hear me? You missed a good place to shout. Hallelujah. Without caring where it falls. Let go of a thing without caring where it falls. Who cares where it goes as long as it goes? Come on, y'all. As long as it's scattered or thrown or cast into the abyss or away from us. To give over to one's care or uncertain. One's care uncertain about the result. In other words, this is a positive, not a negative. Give it over to one's care. Whose care? To His care. Even though you may be uncertain about the result. Well, uncertainty only stands for a while if you're looking in faith. Because you have the promise that says, what you ask, you will receive. He says, those who seek Me will find Me. Are you seeking Him today? About your circumstance, your situation? Something that's popped up in your face that it's like you're kind of brooding over it. You're agonizing. You're in anticipation for the deliverance or the miracle or the supernatural to happen in the situation or circumstance in your life or a loved one's life. Maybe it's a loved one. I don't know about y'all, but it's no secret. Sometimes my family drives me nuts. So what? I got the peace of God. And God's taking care of them. I don't have to be concerned. And I don't have to keep my eyes on that. I just have to thank God. God, thank You, Lord. If I look like that, deliver me. I'm sorry. And move on. And watch God deliver them also. Do you believe that? Amen. Some of you kind of, well, I don't know. And then the key is you have to say. That means you have to use words in order to declare your mind and to disclose your thoughts. You mean to say that again? When he says to the mountain, be removed, it means you use the words that God's put in you in order to declare your mind. What's your will? What do you want? And then disclose your thoughts. It's gone. I trust in the Lord in all His might, all His power, with all my heart. And I'm not going to lean to my own understanding, and I'm not going to lean to the sensual nature of what I see or what I hear or what I feel, but I'm going to lean to His Word. Amen? 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7 says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care. And that word care, if you look it up, means anxiety. Anxiety. I was talking to somebody recently and they said, man, I used to have terrible panic attacks when I was a child. That was then, and this is now. Look where you are. One of the things we know is that, as I shared with this person, that things from the natural manifest spiritually, and they are manifest because of spiritual things. But also things spiritual are manifest in the natural because of spiritual things. Amen? Did I just say that twice?
Yeah.
Anyway, so you need to understand what was is not the truth anymore. You need to understand once again, once and for all, we keep coming back to this. Someday we're going to get it down. It's going to get inside of us and it's going to get a hold of us. And dear God, look out. The enemy's going to run for cover. And that is that the old man, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, is passed away, dead, gone, extinct, exterminated forever and ever. And you are a new species or being. You're a new person. You're a new babe when you first got saved. Now you're maturing in the Lord. You are a child of God. You're not that person anymore. What that person did is dead and gone. There's no record of it anymore. Oh, come on, shout with me. You're free. Free indeed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. That doesn't mean He has anxiety, but He takes that care and disposes of it. Amen? Hallelujah. Matthew 6, verse 34. Actually, verses 25. I'm going to read that. Matthew 6, I'm going to read three verses, 25, 31, and 34. You all know this passage. This is not new to you. Verse 25 says, therefore I tell you, stop being perpetually, unceasingly anxious and worried about your life or the life of a loved one. If it's in the hands of God, then it's in a safe place, amen? It's in the place where it needs to be, amen? What you'll eat, what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far above and more excellent than clothing? Let me ask you a question. We all have been in this place, maybe touched it just recently again. If you weren't here, you'd have no worry. Now, what do I mean by that? If your life was snuffed out, what care would you have about what you ate or what you wore? What is your life? What is your life? What motivates your life? Where did you find life? How do you walk in life? In God. Amen? So why are you worried about these things that God promises to you? Stan has been saying, and I'm getting a picture of this, I'm beginning to understand this, and I'm getting excited about it, because I'm believing God for it, about unearned income. See, we read things like, you know, you don't have a job to support you, you have a job so that you'll have to give. And we hear that and we think that's great. You may not be there. No shame. No shame. But don't let that be the stopping place, because that's where you get into a rut. And that's where the enemy sees an open door to come in and steal from you the word and the truth of God, which is what he's after. We all know that. Don't give place to him. That sounds like God to me. I think I read that somewhere. How about you? Don't give place to him. Verse 31. Therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? Or what are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to wear? Therefore. That's therefore a reason to tell you, don't get caught up with things that are unimportant. God's not looking for you to perish. He said you would not perish but have everlasting life if you believed in Him. Amen? That's not just a spiritual thing. That's a physical thing. Yes, one day we will go to be with Him when He deems it's time. But the point is, from that time to this, He's a Father who cares. God is a Father who cares and who has everything that you need to survive in this earth. And not just enough, but more than enough, if you follow His promises. I don't know if some of you are like me. There have been times on certain instances and certain issues in the Bible that you question, Well, Lord, I don't quite understand that. You know what? Hello, stupid. I'm talking to me now. What difference does it make whether you understand it or not? This is where we get into trouble as human beings. We need to just obey. We may have questions, but don't let the questions supersede the obedience. Are you with me? Don't let the questions overtake or overrun or diminish or darken the obedience. If you're willing and obedient, what is His promise? You will eat the good of the land. Verse 34. So don't worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Whatever it is today, focus on today. Thank God that you're walking in victory, that the answer is yours. He's opening your eyes. He's giving you insight and instruction and giving you peace and dealing with that situation that's right there today. Don't get caught up worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. Has anybody ever done that besides me? Oh, y'all are timid today. God knows anyway, so you can't fool me or Him. Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. Faith is not faith until it's all you and I are hanging on to or standing on. What does that mean? That's nice words, but what does that mean? That means that no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, or no matter what comes into your sphere of existence, if there's anything that takes precedence over faith, it's not from God. And it's not pleasing to God. What does it take to please God? Faith. Amen? Faith. So don't let those things steal your faith. But God, what about this? It's all taken care of. Every time I think about this, I see that cat hanging on that limb. And the caption under it says, hang in there, baby. Listen carefully. I had the scripture in mind, but it just escaped me. But y'all know what I'm talking about. Hebrews 13:8, I believe it is. No, I think that's the one that says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Anyway, the one I'm thinking of is the one that says, they that wait upon the Lord. That doesn't mean just sit there and, well, I'm waiting. Like you're waiting for a train or a bus. They that wait, they that serve the Lord, they that serve the Lord will renew their strength. You want renewal today in your life? You want a renewed strength today in your life? Wait on God. That means serve Him. Serve the kingdom of God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. 40:31, thank you. I just, for some reason, it escaped me, and I know that scripture as well as I know my own name. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. Why? Because they're waiting on the Lord. They're serving God. They're serving the kingdom. They're serving God's people. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and they'll not faint. You want to hook into an inexhaustible source of power and strength in your life? Hook into God. Wait on Him. Serve Him with your whole heart. And you're going to find and experience things we all dream about, but some of us have trouble getting there and experiencing. We want it, but sometimes it's a struggle getting there. It's because we struggle with the things that are right in front of our face. If you will, the sensual things. Our feelings, our thoughts, our hurts, our wounds, our emotions. Glory to God. When attacks or calamities come, He says, take no thought. Even if it's your own fault. Whoa. And if it is, now what? That's one of Stan's favorite things to say too. Now what? You just sit back and let the world pass you by? Never go any further? Never grow in the Lord? I don't remember reading anywhere where it says these kind of things will keep you from the kingdom of God. But it'll sure keep you from some of the amazing things that He has for you to do, for you to experience, and for you to walk in so that you can bless and touch other people. Remember, we're servants. It's not about us. Amen. How many of you have ever heard the saying, I got your back? Whatever comes or happens, He always has your good and well-being in mind. He has your back. That means ain't nothing going to sneak up on you that He's not in control of, or that He doesn't already have an answer, and He doesn't already have the answer on the way. You just got to come in agreement with what He says. And you can't do that if you're stuck in the situation or the circumstance or the problem or what you perceive as a problem. You know, with God, there's no problems. That's hard for us to understand. That's hard for us to grab a hold of. Amen? I haven't got it down. Have you got it down? If you do, I want to talk to you because I need what you have. Hebrews 11, 1, 3, and 6 says, now faith is the substance. That substance means resolution. Now faith is the resolution of things hoped for, the evidence or the conviction of things not seen, with the understanding. I put that in parentheses. With the understanding. Faith is the substance or the conviction. Are you convicted today? Are you convinced? Are you sure about the Word of God? In every area of your life? Every one of you has amazing areas where you excel in faith. But every one of you, just like me, has areas where we need to come up a little higher. Amen? Amen? So we're all in this together. There's nobody any better or any less here or in the kingdom of God. We're all walking by faith. We're all trying to grow. Amen? I don't know how Christians got a measuring stick for the kingdom of God. I remember sitting in a church, well, man, he's the pastor. Yeah, so what? What does that mean? The only thing it means, and I found this out when he called me to be a pastor, was the fact that I'm held to a higher standard. I still am no better or no less than any one of you. The difference is I'm responsible for what I do and what I say and how I live my life in front of you, and that I tell you the truth. That's what he's going to, and how I stewarded his blessings, his kingdom, the things he's in, and the ones he's entrusted me with. Amen? That's so important. So important. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Everything that God spoke was creative in nature. Every word. That's why he says man does not live by bread alone. There we go back to, what are you going to eat today? But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then he goes on and he says in another place, he says, these things will you do and greater things in my name. Of course, we laugh. We think it's funny when we think about, okay, you know, we use the example about flu season and Gertrude saying, well, you know, I'm not going to say it again. You all know what I'm talking about. And then can't understand why they got the flu. Because you spoke it into existence. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth spoke, and it brought it to pass. Folks, I don't care about the debate. I'm telling you, we all know in this house, you can have what you say. You will get what you say. See, what's the key? Be careful what you say. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. If you think you're so lowly in nature that everything that comes along is yours, guess what? It is yours. But if you stand knowing that you are a child of the Most High God, that God calls you the apple of His eye, that God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. He says, I loved you so much that I gave my Son, that if you believe in Him, you would not, what? Perish. But you'd have what? Everlasting life. Life, not death, not poverty, not sickness, not dis-ease. Not suffering lack, life without peace. You'd have everlasting life. The key word, life. Those things that I named, that's not life. I mean, you're as good as dead. You might as well be, because you've got no hope. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen, you hear this, folks? The things which we see didn't come from things which appear. They came from the Word of Almighty God. And as we speak the Word of God, we are speaking into existence the worlds that we live in. The spheres of our influence are framed and operate by the words that come out of our mouth, negative or positive. What would have happened if God would have said, well, let there be light. At least I hope so. I thought we just read that if you believe in your heart and don't doubt, you'll have what you say. God never had a reservation about what He spoke. Are you in His image and likeness? Amen. So the things which are visible were not made of things which are things which do appear are not made of things which are visible. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now there's so much in that one verse. He says, without faith. What does that mean? That means without you walking in the same kind of faith, like it says in Mark 11, have faith in God. Or some people have said, have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith is expecting what you say to come to pass, knowing that what you say will come to pass. Now there's a responsibility with that knowledge. That means if you're going to speak negative and it comes to pass, hello? Here's the thing, folks. When you're facing that mountain, the outcome and the time frame of deliverance and freedom and joy depends on you, your focus, and what comes out of your mouth at that time. I want to come to the place where no matter what pops up in front of my face, the words that come out of my mouth are that mountain's cast into the sea. And where I don't give it a second thought. Because I have what I just said. I want to have that where that, I mean, it's just there and it's as real as me standing before you. Is that what you want? I know the answer to that. Rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. What does that mean? To diligently trust in, rely on, and stand on His Word. To diligently run to Him in the time of trouble so He can show you great and mighty things which you can't even conceive. Did you hear me? Great and mighty things which you can't even conceive in your little pea brain. By the Spirit, you know they're real and you know they're coming and you know they're there. Believe it or not, doubt, you'll have what you say. Why? Because God's Word does not return void. And the rest of that is, it accomplishes what it is sent to do. So if that mountain's in your way, or that little molehill, speak to it. The Word of God will accomplish. Do you realize that when you speak the Word of God, even if you're not convinced in your heart, that is prophecy? You're prophesying to a situation? This is what the Word of God says. And then end that sentence with, and that's what I expect and that's what I believe. And watch it come to pass. Watch it happen. The more you say it, the more real it becomes. We all know that. Amen? You need to be so convinced that you know where you stand. And so will everyone around you. When it appears to all you and all you have, when it appears all you have, all you are and all you have, along with your perceived security appears to be gone. Okay. Let me try again. I have a thought here. You're supposed to know where you stand. And so will everyone around you. There we go. Now I got it. When a problem or something appears to you and all you have along with your perceived security, in other words, you know, sometimes we look for security in things that are, they're not very secure. Do you realize that nothing in this life is secure? In this human life? In the natural existence is secure? Nothing is. You perceive it as security, but when something happens and it appears that that security is gone, once again, now what? That's a good question. Now what? Do I sink or swim? Do I stand or do I fall? Do I lay down and die or do I get up and fight? What does that mean, fight? If it works for you to see yourself having a fist fight with the enemy, that's fine, but see yourself winning because you're more than a conqueror. Amen? If your focus and stand is not based in and on God's Word and His promise, His promise, His promise, His promise, what He does, His promise or what He does, or His Word, say or promise to you, you're in a very unstable place. It all has to be focused on what He says and what His promises are. And they are for you. Folks, Bob's been preaching about love. And it has nothing to do with your thoughts or your perceived past. Remember, we said at the beginning of this, it's gone. It's gone forever. It can't be brought back. It's buried in the deepest sea. It's long since forgotten. There is no record of it anymore. That person's dead. Those issues are gone. They are finished. Everything that, every law that was broken by that person is gone. And the day you received Jesus, you got a new slate. You became a new baby, new potential, new abilities. Amen? New strengths, new focus, and power. Unlimited power, the power of the universe. Why do you think there all these shows come out about Superman and things like that? People want power. They want stability. They want to know they're invincible. You know what? You and I, with God, are invincible. For greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. And there's more with us than there are of them. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Words. Your words carry or have power to change not only your circumstances, but your world. For the good or positive, or for the bad or the negative. Words. Your words are either constructive or they are destructive. That's why you got to be careful what you say. I happen to know two people. Very fond of one, sweet lady, and one that I love dearly. Well, I love them both, but one I love dearly. Who were dealt an ailment. And it's not just a sickness, it's now become a dis-ease. What does that mean? That means I have, and I'm still suffering with, rheumatoid arthritis. Why would you say that? Does that sound like something you were promised? Where did you read in the Bible that God gives rheumatoid arthritis? I'm not denying that the enemy put something on you, or on me. I recently had a malady. Over the past 2 or 3 weeks, I had a malady affect my body. And I looked at that, and of course my thoughts came up, I need to go see a doctor. Why? Why? That's the question I asked myself. Why? And I started to stand, and more than any time in my life, I was convinced that I am healed. And I never changed it. Every day I'd look in the mirror and I'd see that thing. I'd see that whatever it was, doesn't make any difference. And I'd say, I'm healed. And you know what? It's all but gone. It's all but gone. Why? Because I stood on the truth. I stood on the Word. I stood on the promise. I stood on the gift that God gave me. Eternal life. Abundant life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His Word works, folks. Knowing that your words can either make your circumstances or situations worse, that they can either be constructive or destructive, what are you going to do? What will be your response? That's the question God's been asking me and asking of all of us every day. What's going to be your response? Those who are for me are not against me, but those who are against me are not for me. That didn't come out quite right, but you know what I'm saying. You know what the Word says. Praise the Lord. Through the Word and your faith or your stand, you can change your circumstances. You can see the mountain remove and go into the sea. I almost hesitate to say this because I don't want it to be cliche and I don't want it to lose its power or its point or its poignity. Poignity, is that a word? Poignance. Thank you, poignance. I got it. Don't get caught looking for spectacular things. When you look for spectacular things, usually spectacular things you look for come from your own thought processes. If not always. Don't get caught looking for the spectacular in your situation. Look for God's hand, His power, and His Word to do what you think He should according to your understanding. In other words, that's what we do. We look to according to our understanding, and that's what we expect. And that's why we're looking for spectacular. We're not seeing the supernatural. See, through all this calamity, I was so focused on things. You know the struggle I went through. Y'all walked through it with me. You saw it. And bless God, because of your faith, You carried me through. You kept that focus and responsibility in front of me that I have to you. And as a result, I'm walking free today. I'm at peace. I'm at peace. I don't care about anything else except God now. And I'm getting where that's more true in my life every day. As I told you, I'm hearing from God again in a way that I missed. Man, I'm telling you, you talk about despair. Oh, my word. When you think God, or you can't hear God anymore because of someplace that you went, not where He went, but where you went, you moved away from Him. I hate that. If you have an experience that, I pray you never do. And if you have, then you know what I'm talking about. Don't get caught looking for the spectacular in your situation, looking for God to do what you think He should according to your understanding. Watch for the supernatural. The supernatural in my circumstances is God's taken away the anxiety. He's brought me to a place where I know He's never left me, for forsaken me. He's never let me down. Even in physical infirmity. Amen? I know some of you know what I'm talking about because you've had God's touch in your life, or you've seen a loved one, touched by the hand of God. It will cause growth in you and cause a new expectation and growth in you and in your faith. And not only that, in all around you. See, when we operate like that, that's what causes hot coals to be heaped on others' heads. That's what causes people to want to reach out and receive and ask you, what is it about you? Why are you so confident? Why are you walking in things? Even though they see that you may not be in a place of what the world calls stability. Success is not what the world calls success. Success is walking in the faith and the power, the anointing, and the glory of God. That's what success is. The rest of it is superficial. Honey, remember, you can't take it with you. Family of God, you can't take it with you. One of the songs I was reminded of on the way in this morning was the one that says, you know, I search for and I reach for what I cannot lose. I don't want what I can't keep. I give it up. I give up what I can't keep to get what I cannot lose. Amen. Praise the Lord. Another view of an old message and an old story, but yet it's a new story. Amen. Once again, sometimes we need to be reminded. The enemy hasn't gone to sleep. He hasn't given up. I mean, I've never seen somebody who liked punishment more than he does. He's going to get some punishment. He well, maybe he understands what he's looking at. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. I'm not worried about that. I'm only focused on what God says. What He says I have and what He says you have. And I want that to be everybody's focus here. Amen? Don't give up. If you've been given a word from God or you're convinced in your heart of what the Word says, don't give up. Just because you haven't seen the manifestation, don't give up. Never let your words change. Amen? Don't dig up your seed, in other words, because the Word is seed. Never give up. Never give in. Stand on that. Stand on the promise of God. Now, I know some of the things that I've faced are not anywhere near the kind of things that y'all have faced or that you're facing. I understand that. But the one thing that I know is what experiences I have had. Once again, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Begging for what God has. Don't get caught up in wonderment, saying, God, why or when? Just know that God promised it. Some of us have amazing testimonies of God's goodness through our adversity. Amen? But adversity didn't come from God. It's not His plan for your life. Amen? It's not His plan for your life. I said something to somebody recently, God can't give what He doesn't have. Maybe I said it to y'all this morning, I don't remember. God can't give what He doesn't have. But He can certainly bring deliverance and healing in those circumstances. Amen? If you say with your mouth and believe in your heart and don't doubt, you will have what you say. Don't get caught up on when it's going to happen. Get caught up in knowing that it's going to happen. And in God's eyes, it's already happened. Amen? And that means it's inevitable. It's inevitable. If you don't know what that word means, look it up. It means it's not possible not to happen. Amen? Praise the Lord. I love y'all. God loves you. And He's got things far beyond what you could think and ask in mind for you if you seek Him. He's just waiting for you. He's not impatient. He's just waiting on you. Amen. If you feel the leading of the Lord, because there's a need in your life, come let us pray with you, for you. Amen. You know, there's no shame in confessing the Father and the need of the Father before men. The shame is walking away and not confessing Him, because He says, if you deny Me before men, I'll deny you before My Father which is in heaven. But if you acknowledge Me before men, I will acknowledge you before My Father which is in heaven. What does that mean? Acknowledge your need for Him and His presence in your life. I can't tell you the untold times I've sat in stubborn pride or just plain embarrassment and wouldn't come up. Even in the pulpit. No more. Bob gave an altar call recently and I came up. See, y'all are not my salvation, nor are you my destruction. Amen? So if you have a need this morning, or you need prayer for anything, I don't care what it is. If this message didn't affect your life, it doesn't make any difference. Which I don't believe it didn't. I know it did, because the word went forth. Not my promises, not my words, but His words. They're going to come to pass. They're going to come to pass. But wouldn't it be nice to get a jump start on it? Well, then I'm going to consider that all hearts are clear. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, thank You, Lord. I trust You, Lord. I trust You, Lord. I trust You in me. I trust You in Your people, Lord. And I thank You, Lord, that Your word does not return void, but it accomplishes what it's sent to do. And I thank You, Lord, that Your word causes change, causes growth in every person's life. Some areas, a quick growth and change, and in some areas, a work in progress. But I thank You, Lord, that it's happening. I give You praise and thanksgiving this morning for what You're doing in each and every life and heart. I thank You, Lord, and I anticipate seeing the growth, the confidence, the power, show forth in ways it has never shown forth before in each and every life within these walls. And wherever these words go out of these walls, whether it's on the internet or by CD, Lord, DVD, I thank you, Lord. I give you all praise and all honor and glory. And I thank you, Lord, that you're with us and you never stop working. You never sleep and you never slumber. And your promises are yes. And in you, so be it. Amen. That's where we stand. Thank you for this day and time. Bless your people. Go with them, Lord. Let this be the best week they've ever had. And let this be the best day of the first day of the rest of their life, Lord. In Jesus' name, be blessed and go in the peace of God.